shofar, and in particular, I'm going to start off, as you know, the point that I left off in our last Shiura Mamtzachim, just by raising a couple of points, and then I want to make, you know, we don't have enough time to really do the topic fully, but at least to, you know, to try to emphasize, you know, what may be obvious or not. Not really sure, as I'll explain. So the Gemara here on Daf Zayin in the Psachim, which is the you know, this is one of the sugya, not the last sugya, but the second last sugya, I guess, that we discussed last year for those who were here, was about the topic of you know, birchas bedikas chametz, right? And in general, it touches on, how are you? Good to see you back. I should have asked you if I could start. Okay, but great to have you. Is the topic of brachos in general, you know, when you the difference between berchas, you know, hamitzvah and other mitzvah, other brachos, kol mitzvah mevarchelim over lasidasan, and also the question of the nusach bracha, which the Gemara already discusses, and then the Rishonim have this massive debate about whether you make a bracha le or al, and the various views in the. In the Rishon. I don't want to, you know, prosecute that case all over again, but what I do want to mention is two things, just to begin, so that we can make our suggestion. That is that it's very fascinating, you know, that at one point in the end of the Gemara says, you know, establishes the principle here on Zayin Amud Beis, kol mitzvos mevarchen aleihem over la'asiyasan, and then the Gemara in its continuation says, "Umri be'rav umri chutz minat tefila v'shofar." Okay, that there are two exceptions. One is tefila, and the other one is shofar. Then the Gemara says, "Bishlama tefila nakati gavri lo chazi." Well, the shofar, right? My tama tefila, especially if we're talking tefila's ger, maybe even tefila's. Let's see, back to the fogging problem. Whether it's tefillas ger or tefillas keri, you know, it's simply impossible. You have no choice. Or maybe it means something more than that. And that is that the nature of the, which would be more important for us, the nature of the mitzvah and the nature of the change that you are undergoing is such that it's not possible, but for that reason it's also not appropriate, you know, to be making a bracha in advance, because it's a, this is my suggestion, a transformative kind of mitzvah, which is the reason, you know, that you, lemaisa, can't make the bracha in advance. Just gevurah, it's even more obvious, but keri, if there's a prohibition to make a bracha, you'd have the same problem. So, number one, you can't, and number two, for the same reason that you can't, maybe, you know, you also probably shouldn't. But, you know, my time is shofar, but what does this have to do with shofar? So the Gemara says, "V'chitem v'shum dilma mekalkala tkiya." Lest you say that the reason is, you know, a really pragmatic reason, which is that you'll make a bracha, you know, over lasiyasan. You know, then it's like, you know, those, you know, if you go to shul in the morning, everybody's trying, you know, after you know, l'davar Hashem ori v'yishi. So it's not necessarily like the baal, you know, tkiya and your minyan. So, like, you know, like, you know, there's a lot of variations, you know, of things that, you know, are approximate, I guess, the sound of the shofar. So the idea of dilma makalkala tkiya, you know, is something we can all, you know, sometimes happens in the motzi the tzibur too. But dilma makalkala tkiya, the Gemara says, ihach afilu shchita umila nami. And then the Gemara says, "Elam Rav Chizra chutz min atfila bilvah." Okay. So when we learned this at the time, I kind of, you know, obligated myself, and everybody who knows, like, you know, when I commit, you know, to a topic, you know, it's just, it might be down the road, you know, a couple of decades, but, you know, eventually we'll get to it. So I think when we read this Gemara, I made the comment that this is a very strange habit. Meaning, the Gemara, it's a Havamina, you know, and there's a methodological question here, of course, as well. You can read this Gemara and say, wow, that was strange. The Ritva, for example, reads the Gemara and says, yeah, the Havamina was exactly what the Gemara thought. Dilma Mekalkale, and, you know, the Gemara rejected it. But of course, you know, so why didn't they think the same thing about Shechita Mila? I mean, somebody did a survey, about, what's more likely to be this Kalkel. Maybe. But the Ritva says that's what it was, and that's what it is. And certainly it's either way easy to walk away from the Gemara and say, well, you know, it just was wrong, so we can move forward. It's hard enough to explain the things that, are lamaskana. Anyway, do we really have to explain every Havamina, even one that's completely different? However, if you look at the, I think anyway, not 100%, I'm not going to elaborate this now. I did, I think there were three or four people here in the summer when I did speak about part of this. You can have them for a win, I guess. And if you look at the Balamor in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, the Balamor, considers this to be an important Havamina. When he talks about the relationship, between Tkios Demiyushav and Tkios Demuma, right? I think it's Binyamin who said it. Simcha Leib, correct? And Stephen, maybe. Yeah. No? No. In the summer? No. You weren't there?
No.
But you were there? Yeah. So I spoke about that. I spoke about the Balamor and Ramban. The Balamor has a comment in which he tries to bring, evidence from the Havamina of the Gemara. And the Ramban says, I think you're overstating the Havamina, and also it's just a Havamina. Again, I don't want to go into details of that because that's really, I think, very interesting but deserves its own treatment. If there really was like a Havamina, even if it's, rejected, like why of all mitzvos, in the Torah, were we even thinking to equate shofar with tevila? Right, that's really very strange. Especially, I'm already hinting at the solution, if you accept the idea that the tevila exception is not just a technicality. Now, it's not just because lemaisa, it's impossible, you don't have any other choice. Now, that, of course, touches on something else that we did discuss then, and that's a much bigger topic, and that is the discussion of Balei Tosfos and other Rishonim and Poskim, which is whether or not the din that you make a bracha on tefila la'achar, is that only limited to the cases where it's impossible otherwise? Carry in its time and Gavrus, or does it even apply to, Tfilas Tahara, where because Tfila is Tfila, and what does that even mean, that Tfila, is Tfila? Moreover, what I hinted at before, and that is, maybe there's, justice in the halachic world, and that is that, whenever something, this is not necessarily true across the board, but at least it's something always to think about, when something can't be done, the normal way, maybe there's also, in addition to the practical element, maybe the practical side is relevant to also why it shouldn't be done, the proper way. Meaning, the point I'm trying to make is that when it comes to tevila, there may be a very good reason why it's la'achar, and that why may also be the reason why it is extended, beyond, the cases where, you have no choice. And what I mean by that is that tefila is a very much a transformative experience, right? Your status changes, and it's very much about the continuing relevance. In a way, what's important about tefila is becoming tahor. It's taking a very different kind of path, and achieving a very different or assuming a very different kind of status. So even though typically kol mitzvos v'orcha maleim over la'asiyasan, there's maybe poetic, justice in the impossibility of, you can't, make a bracha in advance of becoming a ger. And even, the transformation, is in terms of substance, like with the brachos, the Talmud Torah, and so on, filah. When it comes to carry, you know, so in addition to the impossibility of doing it, maybe the idea is that, you know, the bracha here, even though it's a bracha mitzvah, has to be la'akar, because it isn't really a mitzvah, you know, that focuses on one maisa, you know, on one moment. And it's about the effect of that transformation, you know, going forward. Creating that transformation and its ongoing impact and effect, something that you should continue to embrace, you know, even after the fact. That's my suggestion about tefillah. In which case, is there any way that this, it's not true lahalakha, because there isn't, you know, the other factor maybe, but, you know, is it possible that originally, when the Gemara equated these two things together, that the Gemara is making a very important statement about shofar? Just to highlight it further, again, in that same, you know, psachim context, as we know, there's a debate among the Rishonim about, you know, the significance of Nusach HaBracha generally. Al, rather, and Lamed. Okay. So, already early in the Rishonim, right, there were two schools, broadly speaking, you know, about what Al and what Lamed signify. And again, in the Shiurim, in the end of Psachim, we elaborated that. So broadly speaking, the view strongly associated, let's say, with the Rebbeinu Tam, is that whenever you say Al, you're referring to a mitzvah, you know, which ends, you know, upon the Maisa mitzvah. Focus on the Maisa mitzvah, you know, and then it's over. And when you say Le, so the implication is that the Maisa continues, or maybe the Kiyum continues. Something about it, you know, it advances, you know, into the future. So Al is a Maisa which is done, and Le, that's the perspective that is associated with Rebbeinu Tam. Of course, to be contrasted with the perspective, again, these all have earlier roots, but I'm just telling you who kind of became most associated with it. You know, the Ramban, on the other hand, rejects this view and embraces the other view, which is that Al and Lamed, you know, refer to Efshar al Yedei Acher, whether that means al Yedei Shlichus, whether the status of Shlichus is an open question. And in some respects, the point that I made then, is that, you know, these might kind of in certain respects go in opposite directions of each other. In other words, what Rabban is saying is, you say Al for things where you're focusing not on the Maisa, but on the Chalos. And, you know, the fact that it's Efshar al Yedei Acher, you know, shows you that. Whereas we say Le, you know, you're talking about the Maisa. So in some respects, although I don't think completely, there is actually, not only different explanations here, but almost opposite explanations. And then the Rishonim all jump in, as you can imagine, to apply the different cases. Okay, that's the background. So what does that do with us for the moment? Shofar became controversial, particularly on both levels, actually, because is it Davar Efshar Yedei Acher? Yes. Or no. I mean, it depends very much whether the mitzvah is Shmir or Tekiah, how you look at the Tekiah. Okay, so we'll leave that part of it for the moment. But it particularly became controversial according to the Rebbeinu Tam associated view, which is this is a mitzvah which is Nimshechet, or no, it ends. It ends when it ends. So, you know, if you hold that you make a bracha Lishmoa, you know, kol shofar or something like that, then and it's lit, where's the hemsheikh in tekiyah shofar? Right, you blow the kol, and then it's done. It's not like tefillin or tzitzis, you know, where you continue to wear, you know, the garment, right? Or at least it continues to be on you. Like, is it? Ah. So, in fact, for this reason, the Ramban that's one of the main reasons that the Ramban says that he rejects this perspective and adopts the other one. He says it's not reconcilable, you know, when it comes to Tkiyas Shofar. Tkiyas Shofar, we have a Mesorah, a Haigon, or whatever, that the Bracha is Lishmoa called Shofar, and that doesn't make sense, right, if you apply this this principle. Now, for Rabbeinu Tam, this is not as well known. If you look at Rabbeinu Tam and say for Yashar, right, so Rabbeinu Tam happens to have a different girsa about Shofar. He thinks that it's not a double different girsa. One of which is well known and the other a little less known. The well known part is that the Rabbeinu Tam says, speaks about Tkiya, not about Shmiya. But it's also the case that Rabbeinu Tam's Nusach was Al Tkiya, not Litkoa Bashofar, which would be the parallel of the Lishmoa called Shofar, but Al Tkiya Shofar. So Rabbeinu Tam is actually perfectly good because it's a Maisa Mitzvah, and then it ends. And, you know, it's Al for that reason, Lashitaso. The Tkiya part, is, of course, we'll get back to that in just a second, is, you know, the well-known view of Rabbeinu Tam, that you emphasize Tkiya in the Bracha rather than Shmiya against the Ramban. Okay. However, there were many Bali Tosis and others who embraced Rabbeinu Tam's worldview about Al and Lamed, and who had the Girsa, you know, of Lishmoa or Litkoa, you know, as the case may be. And the question is, like, how do you explain it? Oh. So, again, that's Ramban said, yeah, that's my proof that it's wrong. That was the end of that. Others gave different answers, all of which are relevant to Tkiyas Shofar, but I'm not going to pursue them right now. The Ravan, for example, says that, well, there's more than one kol, because there are nine kolos. There's a whole seder of Tkiyas. And it's not even clear what the Ravan fully means. I was going to quote it, but it's already late. But does he mean the nine, or does he even mean, you know, the necessary 30? Based on Rabba Vo, because of the suffix of what constitutes a real trua. But either way, that's the Rabban's view. The Rush's view, which we did speak about in June, was that it's a mitzvah which is mimusheches for a different reason, and that is that, you know, there are two, you know, groups, at least two. We actually make three often, but sometimes some people make four. Of tkiyos, right? There's tkiyos to miyusha, which is very fascinating. The Gemara speaks about that. La'arve v'sasatan, right? Lama token kishem yoshvin, lama token kishem omdim. A very fascinating Gemara. And then there is, you know, tfilo. There's the tkiyos al seder abrachos. Some people think that there's also tkiya tfilo balachash, but we'll get to that if we get a chance. A very fascinating argument, and then of course some people do after tefillah. But either way, the chiddush of the Rosh is, well, you made a bracha, you do tkiyos demiyushav, right? And then you know, after a very 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 long, you know, hinani, you know, I don't know, I think that they didn't do long hinanis in those times because everybody had time to go visit their rabbein on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. So they're probably proof that they didn't have long memories. But, you know, whatever it was, it wasn't immediate. You, you know, you had the Tkiyos al Seder HaBrachos. So it is a mitzvah mimusheches. And obviously that touches on a very big question, and that's what I spoke about a little in the summer. That's a little bit where the Ramban and Balamor and the Meiri and Magen Avos has a whole piece on this as well. To what extent are the kolos, right, al seder abrachos, connected, you know, considered to be an integral part of Tkiyas Shofar, not just, you know, completing 100 kolos, but in a bigger way? Are they the ikar ones, once you have Tkiyas Demiyushav, you know, are they just a din and tefillah? This seems to be a massive discussion, and the Balamor and Ramban in Rosh Hashanah are relevant to this consideration. In my opinion, there are like two or three different Ramban. If you look at the Ramban as Perush al Torah, Ramban actually separates Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros from the Tekiyos. He rejects Rashi's view that Zichron Trua means the Psukim of Zichronos and Shofros. Thinks, you know, Brachos Lachud and Tekiyos Lachud. The Ramban in Mochamos in Rosh Hashanah makes it clear that in his opinion the kiyum of kolos of kol shofar al seder bracha is a din in tvila, not really a din, you know, in shofar at all. Whereas the bal, I believe those two are l'shitasam, and I believe that that is also l'shitaso of why he doesn't consider, you know, the Rosh's solution, because he just thinks these are ha'iluchudekoy v'ha'iluchudekoy. There are other issues. Do you want to have, or necessarily even with Hatchila, need the same Baal Tekiyah for the Dimiyusha, the Dibu'umad? Is it about problem of Baal Tosif? Question of Tosif. A lot of issues, I think, connected, you know, to this issue, halachic issues, and I think they have halachic, hashkafic import as well, about the relationship between Tekiyah, Dimiyusha, and Dibu'umad, and whether they're two different Lechaydin, two aspects of Kedusha Sayom, you know, just two, or they integrate, you know, in the different expressions of the same thing. That's a very important topic, and it's actually quite relevant to what we're about to discuss as well, but let's sidestep that for the moment. And that, as I say, the Ramban, I think, is, you know, in Psachim, in Milchamos, in Rosh Hashanah, in his Perush al Torah, you know, very, very l'shitaso, and I think the Baal Amor is okay, but then that leaves us, you know, if you don't give the answer of the Rosh, and if you don't want to accept Ramban's rejection, you know, so easily of Rabbeinu Tam's criterion. Again, Rabbeinu Tam doesn't have this problem for himself because he just has a different Nesach HaBracha. He has Al to begin with, so it leaves us wondering, you know, is there another solution to this problem? Is there another way to explain the nusach, the more dominant nusach of Le, even according to this very popular, 50% popular view about Al and Lamed, without assuming necessarily, right, that there is continuity between the Tekiyos de Yushav and the Tekiyos de Me'uma? So basically I've posed two questions so far. Which are certainly, as I've already indicated, many, many other avenues, you know, to answer. One is, what was this Hava Mina to compare Tekiyah Shofar to Tevila, that Dafka you'd make a Berachas HaMitzvah afterwards, especially if you have a certain perspective on what really is unique about Tevila? That's question number one. And question number two is the question of why would you say le, if le means or implies a mitzvah that doesn't end with its maisa, meaning like the criterion of Rabbeinu Tam. If you had the criterion of Rabbeinu Tam, but the nusach of most Rishonim, and if you don't want to accept the Rosh's solution or the Ravon's solution, you know, the Ravon about, you know, there being multiple kolos in this Maisa. It's a Maisa, you know, the question is that, does that count to undermine, you know, Al as opposed to Le? Is that what Le means? Or Le means that it extends over beyond when the Maisa, doesn't mean one physical Maisa, it means, you know, the Maisa is the amount of kolos that you initially require. That's the Ravon issue. And the Ramban issue is the issue of what is the relationship between Tekiyos de Miyushav and Tekiyos al Seder HaBrachos. Is there another way to answer all this? And I think that the answer is, may also end up being very relevant to the Rosh question, is just to go back just a little bit and, you know, to provide a little bit of perspective about Tekiyah Shofar in general. You know, some, you know, it's like what the Mesilas Yesharim kind of says, you know, in his Hakdama, you know, but about other things. But it's a very insightful comment. The Mesilas Yesharim says the things that we're very accustomed to are things that we also become insensitive to or take, you know, for granted, you know, someone. Like, we don't think deeply about them because, you know, they're kind of just part of the fabric, you know, of our lives. But we can miss out, you know, when we're too familiar and therefore too comfortable, you know, with certain practices or principles, you know, we can sometimes fail to take that step back, like, and appreciate what's unusual about them. And maybe, ironically, that hergel, if you want to call it that, is sometimes responsible for missing out, you know, a fuller appreciation. And that, of course, shouldn't happen. So the question of tekiyah shofar, and in particular the question of shmiyah versus tekiyah, is something which, you know, tzidoko shobeis rabban are already very familiar with. Like, we know that there is that issue. We know that, you know, maybe it affects the nusach habracha, you know, the machlokas between, you know, the Rambam, and of course much earlier than the Rambam, and Rabbeinu Tam. And that, you know, there may be, you know, other, you know, nafkaminas, you know, as well. We're all familiar with that, etc. But sometimes, you know, because we're familiar with it, we don't fully appreciate just how extraordinary, right, that the phenomenon of that argument is. First of all, that on a major mitzvah like tekiyah shofar there would be such a basic argument. I mean, there are other examples of that, but whenever you encounter it, it's a little bit like, why isn't the Torah just explicit, you know, about what the mitzvah is? I mean, it's such a pivotal mitzvah. Rabbeinu Bechai in his Kalakemach, you know, uses the tekiyah shofar as an example of you know, the need for Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat Paz. He points out the phenomenon that is, you know, explicit and that the Rambam elaborates in the beginning of the shofar, which is that, you know, you wouldn't know what a shofar is without, you know, Torah Shabbat Paz. You wouldn't know what a tekiyah is. You know, we have to piece it together from Yovel and everything else. It's a very remarkable thing. The whole tekiyah shofar is a very remarkable thing. But the idea that tekiyah shofar, that there can be a debate whether the mitzvah is fundamentally tekiyah or shmiyah, is, you know, something that is unusual. That we don't know exactly what a kol shofar is, you know, rabavo, the suffix, that's also a phenomenon. I'm not going to discuss that right now. But certainly that's something to think about. Moreover, the evidence when it comes to tekiyah and shmiyah, one of the reasons that there is a debate, kind of, you know, this point kind of a little bit answering the previous point, is because the evidence itself is so confusing. Now, sometimes when there's confusing evidence, that's just a reality, and you have to kind of sort through it and try to, you know, come up with the right solution. Other times you wonder whether or not, you know, there isn't a kind of intentional ambiguity, you know. Is there intentional ambiguity in shofar in general? That, you know, that chetzah shel shofar, that the tekiyos, you know, are not, you know, completely defined. Is there intentional ambiguity based on the evidence in Hilchos shofar about what the proper relationship really is between the tekiyah, you know, and the shmiyah? And if the answer to those questions is yes, then, you know, it behooves us to try to better understand, like, what the implications of why, what's so complicated about this mitzvah, or why does it have, you know, these components, you know, in that said balance, such that, like, what does that contribute, you know, to, and this is a very pivotal mitzvah, right? It's Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom Hadin. The role of the shofar, you know, is, it doesn't need me to elaborate how central it is. Some years we speak about, you know, when calendar has it that way, Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, you know, and the idea that, you know, you, even then, you know, where there are good reasons, you know, to abstain from Tekiyah Shofar, but you need an outlet for Tekiyah Shofar, you know, at least, you know, in the Mikdash, because it's like Nachutz, you can't, practically can't think of shofar, you know, without tkia shofar. So when we think about it, the very phenomenon of this machlokes is surprising a little bit. And the mixed evidence is surprising. And again, it could all just be a coincidence, in which case we have to just figure out and come to the solution, but we don't need to make more of it. I'm, you know, more of a, you know, in these things, not in other things, more of a, you know, conspiracy theorist, you know, type, you know, where I think, you know, there must be good reason, you know, why this isn't explicit. But only in these halachic mysteries, not in other things, necessarily. But, so I always tend to, just like, you know, a strange havamina, to me they're always very intriguing. At least I'm interested in looking for the pattern. So what is going on and what is this about? Moreover, like how do we know that the mitzvah, you know, would be, let me say the other way. Default, you would expect that the mitzvah would be tkiya, certainly not shmiyah. Number one, that's what's distinctive and direct. You know, the Shmiyah is the second stage, not the first stage. you know, we talked yesterday about, Re'iyah, you know, and Shmiyah, you know, being, you know, more passive. You know, Kol, Mara, Reach, you know. Obviously, you know, the default thinking would be, you know, that you need a tkiya for this mitzvah, and the tkiya is the mitzvah. That's the one that makes the biggest reshim. Even in terms of the makoros, right, themselves. You know, the Gemara says, and this is what the Rambam also refers to in the beginning of Hilchos, you know, shofar, that, you know, again, we have scant evidence about, you know, what a shofar is, how many, what a trua is, how many truos or kolos you need to blow, etc. In the end, we piece it together. Gazar Rabbeinu Bakai says it's a great example of the interface between, which I think is also not a coincidence, between Torah Shabbat Tzav and Torah Shabbat Peh, this first, you know, day of the year, practically, where we, you know, where we're being judged for our Avodas Hashem. So it's a day in which Torah Shabbat Tzav and Torah Shabbat Peh merge. And one of the things we need to do is we combine, you know, the two psukim of Yovel, you know, with the Yom Tshua Yelachem of Rosh Hashanah, and that's what establishes, you know, the dinim, the pratim of shofar. Of course, that's very fascinating. But either way, those psukim all speak about taviru, right? Taviru shofar, v'havartem. Those are the psukim in Yovel. In Yovel, the mitzvah actually is the mitzvah of tkiya. If you look carefully in the Rambam of Hilchos Yovel, you know, the mitzvah of shofar b'Yovel, which is the two-thirds makor for Rosh Hashanah, is tkiya. Very, very strong support, one would think, for a big town. And as say the Lashonos, the pasuk, when it comes to shofar, is Yom Trua Yelachem. That's the third trua. Okay, that doesn't, on the surface, you know, take a position one way or yavavartem, taviru. Those are verbs that refer to tkiya or trua, whatever it is. And then you have, you know, a neutral, let's say, yom trua yelachem, which doesn't talk about shmiya or tkiya. It just speaks about, you know, this. It's a yom of the kol. That might be relevant. We'll get to that in just a second. So on the surface, you know, it's very strange. So both in terms of the sources, in terms of Yovel and its two-third influence, and just, you know, it's, again, it's good that we're clued in, you know, that we're initiates and that, you know, we know certain things. Sometimes it makes it harder, as I say, to step back and to, you know, appreciate the magnitude of it. But in the end of the day, clearly, you know, any non-initiate would be surprised to hear that the mitzvah of shofar is about hearing it, you know, and not actually, you know, blowing it. So we should ask ourselves, like, what is the significance of this? And where does it even come from? The Rambam, when he, well, so let's turn to the next point very quickly. You know, not only we have this argument, we also have mixed evidence. The Rambam, of course, is very forceful about Shmia. The Rambam in Hilchos Shofar, Perek Aleph, you know, starts with this. Perek Aleph, because Shofar, Halakha Aleph. Rambam says, Mitzvah Seishol Torah, Lishmoa, Truas HaShofar Rosh Hashanah, Shenemar Yom Trua Yalachem. And then the Koteretz Lishmoa Kol Shofar, Becha B'Tishra. In Mitzvah Kuf Ayin, also, similar language, and the quotation also again, of Yom Trua Yalachem. It's curious, the Lechem Mishnah already, or, I'm sorry, Beinu Manoach, this makes the Ha'ara, that this pasuk is the pasuk in Bamidbar. I've spoken about this a lot in the past for other reasons, but actually connected reasons. There are two psukim, really. There's a pasuk in Amar, Zichron Truah, and there's a pasuk in Pinchas, in the parsha of the parsha of the Korbanos, of the Musafim, where we say Yom Truah Yehalachem. It's interesting that Yom Trua Yalachem is quoted by the Rambam as the Makar and others. You would have expected maybe the Psukim in Amor, Zichron Trua. Is the Rambam saying that Mitzvah Saisei Shal Torah Lishmoa Trua Sashofar is based on Yom Trua Yalachem? Is that the Makar? Or is that just the Makar of Shofar and there's some other Makar, you know, that the Mitzvah Shmia? Hard to know, right? If the Rambam is telling us that the Makor of Yom Trua Yalachem itself, you know, teaches us Shmia, like where does the Rambam know it from? Is what I'm trying to ask. Then the question is, what is that connection? The truth is that the Akronim, you know, work hard. They suggest that maybe it's 2 days in Yerushalmi. It talks about, you know, Mitzvah Babavera. You know, the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, famously, talks about Shofar Gazel Shetaka Vayatza Shein Mitzvah L'Bishmiya Sakol Alpa Bishol Noga Bavaloik Biyo HaShomeya Yatza because Ein Bekol Din Gezel. So the Ravid says, Amar Avram Afilu Yeh Bo Din Gezel Yom Chua Yalachem Mikom Makom Achiz Yerushalmi. Some people suggest that, you know, there are really 2 days in Yerushalmi, if you look about the relationship between Lulav and Shofar. And there are some Achronim who suggest that the Rambam, you know, understood from there that this is in a Mitzvah Babavera, but that's also perhaps these 2 days are relevant to the question of whether the Mitzvah of Shofar is Shmia or Tkia. I don't know if I buy that so much, but at least that is a perspective. So if indeed it is connected to Yom Trua, Yalachem, like in what way is that? But let's take a step back since I'm running out of time and just note something else. And that is the phenomenon of having two psukim. Anybody has to go to class, you go. I'm just going to go a little further. The phenomenon of having two psukim that are fundamentally different and each of which is curious is something to know. Meaning, the two psukim are Yom Trua Yalachem. That's very unusual. We don't say Yom Lulav. We don't have Yom Sukkah. Right? The idea that the day is characterized by the mitzvah that is done is unusual. The other option is Zichron Trua, a phrase which the Ramban, both in Drasha Rosh Hashanah and his Perush in Emor, says is one of the most difficult or the most difficult phrase in the Parsha Samoa. He works very hard to explain what every Mepharish has a different shot in Zichron Truah. Okay? The Ramban ends up thinking that it means Yom Adin. The Gemara, of course, mentioned this in the past, says that Zichron Truah teaches you that Mitzvah is Tzrichas Kavana. And one view in the Gemara, even if Mitzvah is Ein Tzrichas Kavana, but the shiny mitzvah shofar because of Zichron Trua. That's the Gemara Daf Chavches in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara also, and Daf Chavches, in the beginning of the, when it talks about Shabbos, The Gemara says that the Gemara has a havamina that the reason that you don't blow shofar on Shabbos, or the remnants for that, is because there are two psukim. One is Yom Tru Yelachem, the other is Zichron Tru. The phrase Zichron Tru is a strange phrase. Both of these, the fact that there are two psukim, and the fact that each of these psukim is unusual relative to other mitzvos, which speak about doing the Maisa HaMitzvah, you know, may be relevant, you know, to this question as well. But the question is, what do we mean by that? You know, and in what way? Right. So I'd like to suggest, I'm running out of time, so I'll just make it quicker, is that one other point, and that is the Rambam himself puts undue emphasis, great emphasis on this question of Shmia and Shofar. Again, right in the beginning, Lishmoa Chuas HaShofar, right, and then of course especially his Chiddush about Mitzvah Baveira, which as far as I know is the Rambam's Chiddush, Na'im B'Kol Din Gezel. And then he has, of course, a line here in which he says that Eina mitzvah ela b'shmiya sakol afa b'shelo noga v'lo higbio, implying that you would have to pick up and you know, touch and pick up the shofar to fulfill the mitzvah, if not for the fact that the mitzvah was a mitzvah of shmiya. This is all Kiddush the Rambam. In a tshuva, the Rambam was asked, like, what's the whole story? This is interesting. People picked up on it. They said, what's the whole story with this whole Tkiya Shmiya thing? Just one second. I'm trying to find it. I think I put it over here. So the Rambam says, and there are two girsos, She'ela, ma'u achilak she'esh ben l'shmoa kal shofar ben al Tkiya shofar. Achilak gadol b'neim, ki amitzom yuched aseina al Tkiya ala b'shmiya sagi. Right, im ha'isa mitzvah tkiya, ve'yatzor kolachad yachad et kol yatzmo, kamo shechayiv kol adam belula v'suka. Im kein vadeh shomeh shelo taka le'yatzei dechavasa, kein atokeh shelo shama yad le'yatzei dechavasa, afilu sasa mei oznav, v'shvil ha'shetaka. Ki ha'mitzvah hi shmiya v'lo ha'tkiya, u'kamo sh'asuka mitzvah hi ha'yeshiva v'lo ha'siya, u'belula v'anatila v'lo be'ogdan. Kach, Zu, Shamitzvah, and so on. So number one, it's interesting that they asked him about it. There is another girsa. Let me get that back. I think in the footnotes to the Pe'er Ador one, he brings it, because it's quoted differently. In the Maram al-Shakar, he has a girsa, which is that, I don't have it here, but which is that the Rambam says that it's not only a mitzvah of Tkiya, it's a mitzvah of Tkiya Ushmiya. So whether the Rambam said only Shmiya or both, either way the Rambam is Makadesh, there would be no Shomea Ka'one if it was Tkiya, so it's Dafka Shmiya. But again, this phenomenon, and if you look at the Rambam, Aleph, 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 Gimel, the Tshuva, especially, you know, Perek Gimel, you know, he constantly emphasizes Shomea Tkiya, Shomea Kolos, Shomea, except when he's talking about the Baal Tkiya. It's clear, like, you know, that he knows that this is a big issue. What exactly is going on? But I think that the answer, my time is running out, is as follows. We also know one other thing that the Rambam did, and that is that in Hilchos Tshuva, right, the Rambam emphasizes Tkiya Shofar, and again, in Yad HaChazaka, it's very rare for the Rambam to give Ramazin, Tamei Mitzvos. He doesn't have it for Sukkah, for Lula. He does have it, the perorations, at the end of, you know, of course, Mi'ilah, you know, Sefer Avodah, Sefer Taharos. You know, he'll have something like that. Very unusual in the middle, and he doesn't have it for any of the other mitzvahs, certainly, of the Mod. Only when it comes to Shofar. And of course, it's a very stirring explanation. U'rishen mishinaschem, right, a pitzu mitar de mosechem, and it comes with a whole program of, you know, slichos, not eret, but at least in the sarsim tshuva and tzedakah, you know, in masim tovim. I'm not going to read the Rambam now because it's a little late, but perik beis hilchos tshuva halacha dal. So I think that what's really going on is that, and the Rambam deserves a lot of, you know, a lot of the credit here, but I think it's also implicit in other things, is that there is a sense that tkiyah, that the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar needs to be a two-step process, and that it is symbolic of being an Oved Hashem, making a commitment to Shmiras HaMitzvos, and of course pursuing the opportunity and the obligation on Yom HaDin of Tshuva. And that is, the Tkiyah is meant to, like the Rambam says, Ur Yashena Mishinatzchem. But if that's all that it does, obviously that leaves you nowhere. It has to stir and inspire in you, right, a program of tikkun hamasin, and something which we spoke, I believe, last year, those who were here, and tikkun amidos, tikkun amachshavos, right, a whole program of tshuva. So that basically, the phenomenon of there being a tkiyah shofar would be irrelevant, would be limited, and therefore not, you know, fully effective, if basically it was simply a ma'isa mitzvah that focused on the pa'ula. Instead, the Torah hints that the mitzvah of shofar and kol shofar is a two-stage process. You do an action, you do a ma'isa mitzvah, and then there is a mitzvah of shmia, even for the tokeya, never mind, you know, for everyone else. Meaning, you do the action, and then it's your obligation to internalize, right, and to allow that action to be transformative, or to be a catalyst, in other words, to be mashpia, the program of your self-improvement, you know, as you move forward. And therefore, for the Rambam, the mixed evidence, which is in the Rambam itself, right, the Rambam holds that, you know, even though there's a mitzvah of shmia, as I've mentioned other times, in Paragimel, the Rambam says, l'chatchila, the tokeya, you know, should blow all the tkiyas. And l'chatchila, the tokeya, should not be mafsik, you know, from beginning, you know, to the end. And the question always bothered me was, according to the Rambam, if tkiyah is merely hechetimtzi for shmia, then there should be no yichus to the tokeya, because he's just the one who produces the call. Even his mitzvah is shmia. So what's the difference between the shmia of the tokeya and the shmia of a regular shomea? If you have the girsa of the Maharam al Shaka, which is that, you know, when being asked about tkiyah and shmia, that he says, well, it's both, right? Then basically, and even if you don't, take the view parallel to Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim thought that even Rabbeinu Tam felt that the Kiyama mitzvah was Shmiya. It's just that the Maisa mitzvah is Tkiya. And I always thought, and subsequently I heard the Rav said this as well, that, you know, you could say the same thing for the Rambam in the opposite direction. Even though the Rambam thinks that the mitzvah, the Kiyama mitzvah, is Shmiya, the Rambam does seem to, and he didn't bring these rayas, but other rayas, that Ram does still seem to emphasize the Baal Tekiyah and the Tekiyah. In other words, you need to hear from a Bar Chiyuva. That's easy to explain. You need to hear from somebody who isn't Mis'asek. That's not so difficult to explain. You could say somebody who's not a Bar Chiyuva and somebody who's Mis'asek don't produce, you know, Chetz Shel Kol. But the Rambam also paskins in Perek Beis, Shofar Alach HaDalet, that you need kavanas mashmiya. In other words, if the tokeya, you know, has in mind to be motzi himself, but not to be motzi the shomea, then the shomea, even if he has kavana lotzeis al yidei shmiya, can't fulfill the mitzvah, which implies that you need to be mitzura to the baal tkiya, according to the simple reading of the Rambam. And the question is why, if it's only a mitzvah of shmiya. But I think the idea is, well, you learn it from Yovel, you learn it from Shofar. So where did the Rambam get it from? Maybe he really got it from Yom Trua Yel Efem. Or Zichron Trua, frankly. Meaning the Rambam was impressed with the fact that the Torah itself, when it speaks about the mitzvah of shofar, speaks about it in terms of its effect. Its effect on transforming the character of the day, Yom Trua Yielahem. You hear this call and that makes the whole day a Yom Trua? Right? Or Zichron Trua, which means the memory or the impact or the internalization, right, of the Kol Shofar. Two very remarkable mitzvah strikos kavana. Even on Shabbos, you can't blow, right, but you can still, you know, internalize the messages of the shofar, right? Zichron Trua. So maybe the idea is that Dafka, you want a two-stage process. And as dramatic and important and different as Kol Shofar is, the idea that there should be a Shmias Kol Shofar, together with the Kol Shofar, that there should be a Tkia, and then you yourself, a Shmia, is another way of saying that you do the mitzvah, and you don't just walk away. It's not just a Maisa mitzvah. It's a transformative, it's an internalized, transformative, it's a mitzvah which stirs you from a certain spiritual lethargy, right? U Yushen and Mishinaschem, which inspires a program, and which, therefore, by definition, is Zichron Trua, it's Yom Trua, the Shmia Sakol becomes significant. Recently I saw, it published in the family, some of the drushos and chuvas of my great-grandfather, Rabbi Yehuda Yudel Rosenberg. So he has a little piece also saying, like, you know, why the bracha of Shmia? And he just has an interesting comment where he says, you know, it kind of reminds you, like, you know, Shmia has a connotation not just of hearing the notes, but of, you know, committing to, or internalizing and committing, my language, but he's in Hebrew, like, you know, Shema Yisrael, or Haskes Ushma. You know, Shema has a, or Shmia has a connotation of not just, you know, superficially hearing, but it's, which of course works very well with the Gemara's idea of Zichron Trua, that you dafka have Mitzvah Srichas Kavan and Shofar, which is also Psak and Rambam, as opposed to, let's say, Matzah. Or, you know, that you can, even without the actual Shofar, you can still, you know, have a kind of a Zichron Trua. So basically what I'm trying to suggest is that the Shmia of Kol Shofar is a way of saying that what you want on this first day of the year, the day of Yom Adin, the day in which, you know, Klal Yisrael are supposed to be moved to tshuva, frightened into tshuva, moved to do tshuva as an opportunity, you know, both balancing, maybe we'll speak about this on Thursday, crisis and confidence, you know, at the same time, you know, the Kol Shofar is a call of charada, the Kol Shofar is also a basis for simcha and for confidence. The way that happens is when you hear it, you allow it to stir you, and then you kind of internalize the implications and the consequences. And if that's the case, then we can appreciate not only this dialectic of Tkia and Shmia, and even though it comes from the world of Yovel, the fact that it, when it's applied to Yom Adin, that it requires the heavier emphasis of Shmia Sakol, but we can also then solve the two problems that we began with, right? One of which was, like, why does the Gemara think that of all mitzvos, you know, together with the tevila, you should make a bracha dafka achar, you know, asiyasa? And if what commends tevila is the fact that it is, you know, transformative, that it changes who you are, and therefore it changes the course of the direction of what it is that you're doing, you know, what does that have to do with shofar? And then the second question, which is, if you hold that the le and al, you know, refer to mitzvah mimushaches, or simply a maisa mitzvah, one and done, finish, right? And you have the girsa, which most people do, of lishmoa, kol shofar, and if you're not inclined, or maybe even if you are, maybe that's the pshat, to explain, like the Ravan or the Rush, that it's mimushaches either in the original 9 or 30, or because of the relationship between tkiyos to miyushav and tkiyos to meumad. So then, like, how would you explain that bracha or that nusach? But according to what we're suggesting, really what's unusual about Kol Shofar, the reason that it is presented as Yom Teruah and as Zichron Teruah, is precisely because the point is to do this maisa, but for the kiyum to be al yedei shmiyah. Not only to hear it and momentarily be stirred by it, right, but for it to provoke a response of Ur Yishen Mishinaschem, you know, that includes, you know, slichos and tzedakah and, you know, tshuva, etc. And that on the first day of year, the day that sets the tone for the renewed relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that that dafka will be, you know, something which occurs, you know, by internalizing and by kind of long-term committing, you know, to the effect, you know, not only to the action that you take. So for that reason, shofar becomes a very paradigmatic, you know, kind of a mitzvah. We talk about the kol shofar being nichnas, you know, lifnai v'lifnim. The Gemara says that's why you kind of a shofar, you know, shel para, because they kategor nasa senegar. What does it mean that the kol shofar is nichnas, you know, lifnai v'lifnim? But obviously, if it's a kol shofar, you know, where, you know, the maisa is the tkiya, but the kiyum is the shmiya, and by the shmiya we mean the commitment to Shema Yisrael or Haskesu Shema, internalizing and extending and translating that into a program of Avodas Hashem, then we can appreciate all of these. Okay, we'll stop here. And, maybe Thursday we'll get some. Oh, sorry, I went a little over time. Hope nobody. Oh, yes. Nice white.
New box.
Oh, yeah.